Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
All aboard. We're going back to Eden. Yeah. We're going back to Eden. We are going back to Eden. Welcome to the Back to Eden Pet Talk Radio Show with your host, Gigi Shimon. And we have an exciting show lined up today. We have some very, very beautiful people and organizations on today who have given their lives for our beautiful furry companions. Usually our emphasis is on nutrition, but today we have a really urgent need, and it's very important that we get this information out immediately, because we have a gentleman by the name of Robert Masseri who is spearheading an effort to stop the eating of dogs in Korea, and he's about to take a trip to Korea to get the boots on the ground to start getting these laws changed and to bring an awareness campaign. And I'm so honored to have him with us today. Robert, are you with us?
I am, Gigi. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for joining us. And Robert, your organization is Guardians of Rescue. What is Guardians of Rescue's mission?
Well, we have the group that fights for the underdog. We've taken on very many different types of programs, large hoarding situations, large campaigns, right down to getting a cat out of a gutter. So we're very broad. We're all a volunteer organization. We're based out of New York. And the program currently right now, which is Real Men Don't Eat Dog, is focused on the meat trade in Korea. It's been around forever. Most people don't want to believe it really is happening. Some people think it's a poverty issue, which it's not. But I have people on the ground as we speak, and it is just, you know, in all the years of animal rescue, there is nothing compared to the cruelty that takes place in these dog farms and in the meat markets. Nothing at all.
Oh. Well, we're so grateful that it came to your attention and that you guys are on it, and we want to help any way that we can. So, first of all, before we go any further, I want everyone to take some time out real quick and go to guardiansofrescue.org. You can read up on it. You can make a donation. You can get involved. And so what do you hope to accomplish, Robert, by taking on the Korean dog meat industry? Is this a huge industry?
It's a tremendous industry. It's tremendous. They slaughter tens of thousands of dogs a week. The consumption is very high. Predominantly, it's a male consumption base. There are actual farms like we would have here, commercial farming for cows and pigs. they have this for dogs. I am not for slaughtering any animal, but in this case, in Korea, these farms are not regulated. They have these makeshift metal boxes. Korea is very cold. These animals often freeze to death, and there's no comfort up until the moment that they're slaughtered. The biggest concern, from any advocate's point, is that the process on which they slaughter these animals, try not to be as graphic, but we rescued one out of a market. And this is a regular market. You walk in and there's vendors, hundreds of vendors everywhere, and you literally have these cages with 25, 30 dogs in them. And you walk up and you say, I want that dog. They take that dog in the back. They slaughter it right there and they give you the meat. That's one way they process. But it's a tradition. It's a, and it's a belief that if the dog's adrenaline is at its maximum and it's dying, the blood, the meat is going to be much more tender. Therefore, they actually they slaughter the dog to death, and it's painful. This is something that, again, most people don't want to hear. They don't want to see video. They don't want to see photos. But the more we close our eyes to it, the more it's going to happen.
Exactly. Exactly. At some point, we just have to stand up and say, I'm going to do something. So what is your goal? How many dogs do you plan on rescuing on your next trip? And what is the date of your next trip, Robert?
Well, we have one member on his way right now. He's actually in the air, back from Korea. He has three dogs with him. He's landing in New York tonight at 10 p.m. We're going to be working with some shelters in Korea. Our main goal is to rescue what we can, but our main goal, the main goal, is to try to shut some of these places down and try to work with the Korean population, the Korean people who don't want this, because not all Koreans eat dog meat. Most of them don't, and I think that this is a very sensitive issue with them. The younger generation is likely more embarrassed by it, so we want to appeal to them, and we want to get them on board, and we want to kind of get some kind of oversight on these facilities. You know, the laws are very ambiguous in Korea. It's technically illegal. This is how it reads. It's illegal to produce and consume dog meat, but it's not against the law. that sounds like an oxymoron, but it is. That's how it works. So there is no oversight. What we want to do is develop oversight by the Korean officials that they will monitor these farms that you know, raise 700-800. My guy was on a farm that had 750 dogs. Which were, you know, destined to go to the market. It's a lot like the best way to describe it. If you've seen the most deplorable chicken coops, this is what you can imagine, and they're all dogs from senior dogs to puppies. And it's very sad. It's very sad. I don't know how many people actually looked at photos of this. You know, market, which is not just Korea. It's a big part of Asia. It's China. It's Thailand, Indonesia, Philippines, Vietnam. And again, this is not about people being poor, because chicken, if you choose to eat meat, chicken is actually twice as expensive as dog meat. So men eat this because they feel it makes them stronger. Mm-hmm. They feel that you know, it gives them much more stamina.
Right.
It's an old myth, and we need to break that myth.
So the young people, I think, you know, with the social media wave that our young people are riding, I think that you have a good chance of getting this to go viral if you get enough support to get the word out there to the young people in Korea, because it's really, you know, it's not in vogue when you consider, I mean, I've read stories about dogs literally dialing 911 and saving their owners from a heart attack. I know of so many self-sacrificial dog stories where dogs have given their life to protect people. And the Iraq vet stories with the dogs that they use in their missions over there, just heart-wrenching, such beautiful nobility of these animals. And I really appreciate what you're doing. So will you, when you bring the dogs back from Korea, what happens next? Can people adopt these dogs?
Yeah, well, they will all be up for adoption. And we want people to see what these dogs are like. And they're just like the dogs we have here, of course. They want to cuddle with you. They want to give you paw. And, you know, so they will be up for adoption, absolutely.
That's beautiful. Hey, Robert, would you mind sticking with us for 1 minute? We have to take a quick break.
And then
we'll come back. Okay, we'll be right back on Back to Eden Pet Talk Radio. We'll be right back with the Back to Eden Pet Talk Radio show. Back2Eden.org.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet, all-natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting, and very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's purrspraypet.com. purrspraypet.com. Or call us now at 386-310-3924.
All aboard. We're going back to Eden. Yeah. We're going back to Eden. Welcome back to the Back to Eden Pet Talk Radio Show. We're here with esteemed guest, Robert Misery, who is doing a really amazing and noble mission of going to Korea to rescue dogs from the meat industry. In our first segment, Robert was telling us about the conditions in which these dogs are raised, which is really worse than, I guess, the worst chicken farm, and that often the dogs die in captivity. And then on purpose, they are slaughtered under horrific circumstances so that they have maximum adrenaline in their system to tenderize the meat. And as much as I have a hard time talking about these things and thinking about them and looking at them, we have to. Robert, are you with us?
I am.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Okay, Robert, so you just told us that these animals are available for adoption. And let's go in a little deeper to the Real Men Don't Eat Dog campaign. What are some of the ways that people can help to get the word out about this campaign?
Well, they can go to our Facebook page, which is Guardians of Rescue, like the page and support us. We are an all-volunteer organization, our financial efforts are always, burdened because we just can't keep up. So we're always in need for support. But people who just want to get involved, someone who may, want to work on a campaign with us, someone who may want to make phone calls, things of that nature. We're always welcoming people to help with these efforts. And that's anybody who, it's just, it's a lot of people say, I would love to do it. I just don't have the heart for it. I don't want to hear about it. I forced myself to watch some of the most horrific videos. And that's what really pushed me to make sure that I did something. And those videos still today stick with me, and they will forever stay with me. And these are undercover videos that were taken a few years ago. And if we don't, then these animals have no shot. And for the local Koreans that are trying to do things, they get bullied. They get people attack them with knives, literally, in the market.
What?
It's not like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So this is not something that – it's not America where they can come in and, protest and call the police. It doesn't work that way in Korea. So, these animals only have the rest of the world to reach out and say, hey, we're here to help. And that's what we're doing.
Wow. Wow. That is brutal. So, everyone, you can go to Guardians of Rescue .org. That's G-U-A-R-D. As in dog, IANS, of rescue.org. And please donate, because without money, this campaign can't go forward. You guys have to get exposure there. And I imagine we spoke briefly on the break, Robert, about efforts to try to change the laws. It's not quite the same as here in the States either, is it?
No, the laws are very different. The process is different. And because we are Westerners, our push is not going to be heard. But we do have a big plan here in the States where we plan on boycotting certain products. We plan on protesting the consulates and so forth and so on. So they will hear us loud and clear on the state side. And we hope what we want to do is we don't want to go against Korea. We want to go against the dog meat trade. And we want the Koreans to join us, the ones that are appalled by this. And many are. Many are. But again, they don't know where to go. They don't have direction. So we hope that our program, our plan, our campaign will get in that direction. And I spoke with someone early this morning. She spoke good English. She lived in Korea her whole life. She went to school here. But she said, I've been doing this on my own. I'm glad that I finally found you because I'm one person. But
wow.
Now she's, part of our program. And before you know it, by the end of the week, there'll be 12 more people. And that's how it works. And that's what's going to make a change here.
So all of you who are listening, if you know someone, a celebrity, a dog lover that would make a really great poster for Real Men Don't Eat Dog, that would help. Anything that you can think of that would help this campaign and awareness of this problem to go viral is going to make a huge difference. So, Robert, talk to us also about educating the public on meat byproducts, the meat industry, and dog leather and different things. I didn't even know there was dog leather.
Well, they use all the products. Nothing goes to waste. The intestines, believe it or not, are fed back to the farm dogs. That's what they use as food. The skins, the pelts, the fur, oftentimes what we believe is fake fur coming from Korea, China. They export a lot to China. Those jackets that you're buying that say fake fur is likely dog and even cat. It's been proven time after time after time after time. We don't have the resources here in the United States, and I mean the government doesn't want to seem to stop it, but it's very common. So there's a tremendous market just in that alone, and all the byproducts. So it's something that is very profitable. So it's going to be tough to stop, but if everybody gets joined together, we can. All we have to do is make it illegal. To raise an animal for consumption, to eat an animal of nature of what we consider a companion animal. In fact, most Koreans who own dogs, their biggest fear, they'll tell you, is that they can't leave their dog outside because someone will steal it.
To eat
and that
it.
Dog will go to the market. Absolutely.
Mm.
They will sell that dog to the market in 10 minutes.
Wow. Well, what positive changes? Our segment's almost over, Robert. I hate to see you go, but what positive changes do you anticipate in the development of this campaign?
I think we're going to rally a large amount of like-minded Koreans in Korea that are going to say enough is enough, and we're going to start seeing this very soon. And they're the ones who are going to put pressure on their own government, on their own people, on their own neighbors, on their own markets, and stop boycotting businesses that potentially sell any type of... I mean, you can walk in certain stores and buy dog soup in containers, frozen dog soup. So it's about getting together, boycotting, showing them that you have a voice, and getting these animals to live a very different life.
And if this goes viral, I think the Korean government could actually be ashamed by the global outrage that really should rise against what's going on. Well, Robert, we all thank you so much for what you're doing for our babies. We want to help you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to guardiansofrescue.org, donate, offer to help make this go viral on social media, whatever we can do. And we hope you'll come back and give us an update, Robert.
Gigi, I sure will. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you, ladies and gentlemen, on the other side of this break. We'll be right back with the Back to Eden Pet Talk Radio Show. Back2Eden.org.
Itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But doggy goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try doggy goo. Your dog will doggy goo. Look it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426. Or on the web, www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
All aboard. We're going back to Eden. Yeah. We're going back to Eden. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Back to Eden Pet Talk Radio Show with your host, Gigi Shimon. And we had a wonderful 2 segments with our guardiansofrescue.org. Please go out and check their website and see what you can do to help protect our babies in Korea and rescue them. And now we have another wonderful guest on. We have Peter from the Big Apple and topdogdinners.com. Peter has a really heartwarming story about how he founded his company, and he has an amazing and a beautiful company that could be the answer that you dog owners out there have been looking for. Peter, are you with us?
Yes. Hi, Gigi. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. Welcome to Back to Eden Pet Talk Radio. Thanks so much for joining us, Peter.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Okay, so can we get a little background on Top Dog Dinners and the story? I know it's probably hard to talk about, but I want people, because that's what really struck me when I was at your website. I was like, this is beautiful, because it shows someone taking their lemons and turning it into lemonade. And in this case, you know, lemonade, mimosa. And so tell us your story, Peter.
The story, it's been seven years now, but still, as you said, it's really hard to talk about it. But in 2007, during that huge, infamous dog food recall, when like 100 brands were recalled, unfortunately, one of the victims of the recall was my dog, my beloved boxer. His name was Bruno. From perfectly healthy show dog, in great shape, 4 hours later, the dog was not with us anymore. You know, at that point, I knew there's something has to be done. I tried to punish the dog food manufacturers, going to court, but of course, because of the law, it doesn't. You know, the law that doesn't consider a dog as a being. It's like a chair, like your car, like a computer. And the less value they assign to a dog, the older the dog gets. There is no emotional value with the dog, which is, we know what it means.
Yeah, they're family. To us,
absolutely. To us, it's, you know, it's all about emotional value. And so I try to punish them the other way, a different way. I try to make the dog food that they will never, ever be able to copy, not because it's impossible to copy it, because it will be too expensive for them to make it.
Yes.
And that's the quality that makes the food impossible for them to copy.
That is wonderful. So when the litigation thing didn't work because the laws really don't support it, you founded topdogdinners.com that offers the highest quality custom organic dinners for dogs. Can you explain a little bit? How does it work? Does someone call you up and say, you know, I want this flavor? How do you put things together for people?
You know, it took me a few years. It didn't start it right away. It took me a few years, you know, of preparation and research and learning and studying. I hired, at the time, it was the top European Union specialist, dog food specialist, Professor Jan Bartechko from University of Agriculture in Krakow, Poland. And I hired him to prepare the formulas for all kinds of different food, depending on the breeds, sizes, ages, and many, many factors. Then I've got a website developer who design according to my concept. He designed the formula to put Professor Batechko's ideas about the food into the interface that would be easy to use for dog owners. So it works very simple way. You go online, you enter all the information about your dog. It's like 16, 17 information that we need, the factors determining the food. You enter this, you click next, 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 and you see the food that is being sort of made in the front of your eyes. In reality,
wow.
In reality, we got a printout on the back end of the website. We got a printout of that formula that is specifically designed for with your dog in mind. And then it goes to the kitchen, and the process starts. Then we ship it overnight. If it is outside of our local delivery area, we ship it by FedEx, next day delivery, with dry ice. If it is local delivery area, which is mostly in New York City and let's say surrounding counties, we deliver it. We hand deliver it.
Wonderful. Oh, this is so great. And really, this is the kind of quality that I promote to all the pet owners here that listen to the radio show, because you don't know what you're getting when you're just opening a random package by, you don't even know who made it, what their commitment to excellence is, if they're cutting corners, if maybe they don't even know that where they're sourcing their ingredients have been contaminated. And so, Peter, I'd love to talk about this some more. We got to take a real quick break, but we'll come right back and pick up on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with the Back to Eden Pet Talk Radio Show. Back the number 2 Eden.org.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
All aboard. We're going back to Eden. Yeah. We're going back to Eden. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Back to Eden Pet Talk Radio Show with your host, Gigi Shimon, and we have with us today Peter from the Big Apple and TopDogDinners.com. And we were just talking about how Peter, instead of allowing a very tragic event to make his life miserable for the rest of his life, he decided to turn it into a powerful solution for pet owners so that you can make sure that you know the kind of quality foods that are going into your animal. You're not going to have to be wondering, is this going to get recalled or is there some kind of contamination? This is all hand-prepared for your dogs. And Peter, we were just talking in between the break. So for people who live out of the area, they can purchase 4 weeks worth of food at one time?
Yes, exactly. If you are living, you know, whatever, from Washington State to California to Florida, we are shipping 4 weeks supply at a time. So you have to make sure you have enough room in your freezer. for that amount of food. If you are in our local delivery area, we hand deliver it, and depending on your preferences, we can deliver the food like once a week or twice a week or even four times a week. So in other words, you will be getting 2 days' supply of food at a time if you choose the option four times a week.
Wonderful, wonderful. So everyone in the Big Apple, if you know dog lovers in the Big Apple, please be sure to send them the Top Dog Dinners link. And it's going to make their life easier, and it's going to give their pets the best chance for a healthy, healthy life. So also, Peter, you're a little bit of a dog aficionado, I understand.
Oh, a little bit is not the word.
So
this
you're actually
crazy, and I take it as a compliment.
Peter is actually a dog expert, and he has some very vital tips to share with us for the holidays. Peter, you're saying the holidays are dangerous for dogs. Can you please elaborate for our listeners?
Yeah, you know, we tend to treat our dogs as a kid. So we feel like holiday season is the time of spoiling them. We spoil them during the year all the time also, but holiday is a special time for spoiling kids and dogs. And obviously, because no matter what's the customs, if it is Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa, no matter what, it's always a lot of sweets on the table, a lot of food on the table, candies, cakes, chocolate. Most of them, they are pretty, pretty dangerous for the dogs. Because of the digestive system of dogs, the chocolate, simple thing like chocolate could poison your dog, could kill your dog. Cakes, raisins of also, candies, they're big no-no for the dogs. Even leftovers from the table, you know, full of spices, they're pretty, pretty dangerous for dogs. We never know what kind of spices could really poison your dog. Also, you know, little things like chewing gum that kids could drop on the floor or the dog can find on the street. It could be very dangerous for the dog. Not forget about alcohol, that usually it's on our tables, if it is wine, you know, or I don't know, whiskey or beer. This is very, very very dangerous for the dog. We have to keep it in mind and keep it away from the dogs, as well as from the kids, of course.
Yes, that is great information. Do you recommend any changes in the dog's diet during the winter?
No, you know, the dog's digestive system is short. Dogs are carnivores, so they don't adjust easily to changes in the diet. Not as well as we do adjust. But for that reason, I would say as long as you stick to high-quality, high protein content and high fat content, you should stay with the food that you are using for the rest of the year.
So all year round. We don't need to put our dogs on a low-fat diet, in other words.
No. You know, to the envy of many women, the dogs digest the fat in different way than human does. You know, the fat goes into the places in human bodies that most of the time we don't want it to have. But dogs, lucky for them, they digest the food, fat, and transfers them into energy, most of it. So high fat diet is not affecting the dogs the way it affects the people, because they use it as an energy. So in just the opposite, I would say the high fat content in the food is better for them for the winter, because it gives them the energy to fight off the temperatures.
That's right. And I'm thinking about the sled dogs, you know, in Alaska, and they eat a very high blubber diet, you know, the ones that the Inuit themselves use. And those dogs are out in those temperatures. They just curl up, snuggle up, and they're doing great all winter because they can burn that fat as fuel. Yep. That is so great to know. And so we also know how dangerous it is to leave dogs in the car in the summer. But what about in the winter too, Peter?
Yeah, it's of course, it's also very dangerous, because the temperature, as fast as it goes up in the summer, it grows as fast low in the winter. Of course, you know, the dogs, they've got furs, most of them. So it's not depending on the geographical location. Mm-hmm. We are not talking about California or Florida, but northern states, they could get really cold. So you know, leaving a dog for 15-20 minutes in the car outside in the parking lot is not a big deal. In the summer, it's a huge deal. And,
yes,
you know, I will break the window no matter what in the car if I see the dog. It happens to me already, and I don't feel bad about it. In winter, I would wait 15-20 minutes before I break the window.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you for being such a great advocate for our babies. And what about people that have difficulty getting their dogs to go outside in the winter? What do you suggest? Do you recommend winter coats and booties?
You know, no. It's, of course, unless we are talking about, you know, Mexican hairless dog,
right.
he needs some help, definitely, yes. But most of the dogs, they are used to being outside, and most of them, they like to be outside. Of course, I always advise to use common sense. That's the main factor. If the dog doesn't feel like, you know, it's rainy outside or it's cold outside, just make it fun, make it excitement, take a toy, you know, run. Dogs love it. And minutes later, being outside, he will start to play. He will be happy to be outside, especially being outside with you.
Well, I think a lot of the reasons that we're finding animals going through these weird moods is because they're eating GMO foods that are packed with grains that they don't even really have the proper digestive enzymes to properly digest. A lot of these foods, the quality is so low. On our website at Back to Eden, if you go to our food tab, you can read about what they actually put in these, you know, mass-produced dog foods, cancer tumors, dead dogs and cats, the contents of the bowels of animals, and just horrific, horrific things that are put in there, undigestible objects, chicken feathers, things that they weren't meant to eat in the way that they're eaten, and most of them are devoid of nutrition. So your baby is probably suffering from malnourishment, high toxicity, and that's why we're having Peter on today to talk to us about Top Dog Dinners. Maybe it's time to give your dog some really healthy food because they'll feel a lot better, and they'll want to go outside, and they'll want to play more. Peter, would you stick with us for one more segment?
Sure, it'd be my pleasure.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a real quick break and come back with Peter and really dig down in to the Top Dog Dinners story and how you can get started today. We'll be right back with the Back to Eden Pet Talk Radio Show. Back2Eden.org.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
All aboard. We're going back to Eden. Yeah. We're going back to Eden. Welcome back to the Back to Eden Pet Talk Radio Show. We're speaking here with Top Dog Dinners founder, Peter from the Big Apple. You can have awesome food delivered right to your door every other day if you wanted fresh, organic, high-quality food for your animals that you know who's been handling it and you know where the food is sourced from. So, Peter, let's talk about what to look for in a good dog food.
As I said before, just use the common sense. Don't fall for the tricks of big dog food manufacturers. They are trying to trick you in many ways. For me, if something walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, is a duck. If something says beef, chicken, and let's say fish, it is beef, chicken, and the fish. If the label on the food says chicken meal, beef byproduct, beef product, fish meal, lamb meal, what does it say? It says it's not what it looks like. It's not lamb, it's not chicken, it's not beef. So the common sense says avoid that. Unfortunately, it's really, really hard to avoid because on most of these labels, you will find just this ingredient. And you don't want to know you should know what it means. If you want to know, go to our website and you will have, there is a video explaining what all these names mean. And don't listen to that video with your dog next to you. Because if your dog listens to it with you, he will say no more. I don't want to eat it anymore and you are in trouble. Definitely, that's the way to do it.
Okay, so has your food ever been recalled, Peter?
No, absolutely not. You know, we source our ingredients. Everything, first of all, everything is made in New York. You can stop by at our place on Long Island and you will see how it has been done. It's commercial kitchen that was designed for let's say human use cooking. Secondly, we source. Everything is sourced here, locally, in New York. So we use the same ingredients that you are eating, having the food in your restaurants or you cook at home. We use restaurant supply chain that supplies our food. So everything is USDA approved for human consumption. That's another very important thing when you look for the right food for your dog. Don't go for another trick that big manufacturers use. They use the sentence, they use the expression, human grade. Human grade is very, very misleading because it means nothing. It means that, let's say, that the meat came from the beef because the beef is a human grade kind of meat. We don't eat rats. So rat is not a human grade. But at the same time, even if it says human grade, at the same time, it means that it is not allowed for human consumption. Because that beef, it came from the cow that was sick, that was disabled, or it's just the fetus of the cow, which is still beef. But we don't eat it. It is not USDA approved for human consumption, being still human grade.
That's right.
It is a huge, huge difference. So if recall happens in our case, it could happen. I hope it's never going to happen. But it would happen because the source was, for some reason, the source of our food was being under recall. Let's say a few years ago we had a big recall of lettuce coming, mm-hmm. I think, from California. So unfortunately, you know, it could happen, but we use lettuce also in our lettuce and chicory, by the way, in our food. But most of the time, there is very, very, very slim chance it happens.
Well, I know one of the most beautiful markets of food I've ever seen is in New York City in the morning, where the chefs go shopping. The finest quality foods in the world come through New York City. Also, there's lots of farmland, actually, people don't realize it, on Long Island and in the surrounding areas. And if you're buying locally, That's awesome. You're supporting local growers, and it's not coming from somewhere where you don't know what's going on. You can literally go and see their farm and see what's happening. So, Peter, what is the Top Dog Dinners test?
We designed the test because, again, you know, big manufacturers, they're trying to trick people into thinking something else about the food. If you see on the label, you see the American Association of Feed Control officials, they regulate the dog food industry, pet food industry. And by their requirements, you have to put on the label, you have to put certain information, which is the content of the protein, fat content, moisture content, and fiber content. These are the four information that have to be on the label. What the commercial, big commercial manufacturers do, they use these numbers to trick you into thinking that it is really high quality food. When you go on when you look at the label of my food, because every dog is different, so every food will be a little bit different. But let's say on the average, on my label, it would say the protein content will be 12%. On, I don't want to use the name, some dry food company, let's say, it will say it's got 20% protein content. So you would say, whoa, that's almost two times better than Top Dog Dinners. This must be a good food. But you have to look at the moisture content, because it's completely, it's changing the game if you look at it. So there is a simple, very simple procedure to convert the mathematical formula to convert percentage, depending on the content of the moisture. So when you enter on our test, when you enter the information from the panel of your dry food, let's say dry canned, whatever food you have, if you enter the protein content, fat content, fiber content, and moisture content into the test, as the result, you will get the actual content after converting that numbers into so-called dry matter. And then you can compare dry matter from our food with the dry matter from your food. And then you decide. You choose the right food. You will be surprised. 20% of the other food, 20% from the panel, 20% content of the protein content of the on the panel, it would mean that it is, let's say, 10, 12, or 11% protein content in that food, while our food, which says on the panel 12% protein content, after being converted into dry matter, it would say 46-42% of protein. In other words, that test helps you to compare apples to apples, not apples to oranges.
Perfect. Perfect. And also, I mean, you're giving them USDA grade beef, lamb, chicken, whereas that other protein, we don't even know what it's made of. It's like a goo.
You don't want to know. It's really,
no.
really bad.
And so the quality cannot be compared, and you can't really even just depend on the protein content. So you need someone with the background and the research that you have done, Peter, to really customize it for the breed, for the size, for the type of dog. This is what we do. We allow our bodies to a certain point, people that are in touch with their bodies, to show them what they need. I can tell when I'm deficient in protein. I can tell when I need some more greens. My body will crave it. And so this is a very scientific process formulated by the scientist at Krakow. And we're so grateful, Peter, for what you're doing. And you have this beautiful company. And we hope that everybody will go to topdogdinners.com. Go ahead and play around. Do the dog test on your dog food. Go ahead and fill out the application form and see, you know, what kind of special food you can have for your baby so you can have the healthiest, longest living pet for the best quality of life all along the way with topdogdinners.com. Peter, we were so honored to have you as a guest. We hope you'll come back.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be on your show. I hope I will be back.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time, and we would love to see you again next week, and we'll have more wonderful guests just like Peter and Robert today, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Back to Eden Pet Talk Radio Show.